Alicia Leone and Stephanie Martin are the co-owners of Bird Fork Farm up on Kegel Mountain near Dunlap. Their produce is certified naturally grown for the Chattanooga area and beyond, which means they use no synthetic herbicides, pesticides, fertilizers, or GMOs in what they grow. Alicia, Stephanie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Tell us more about the farm.
So we've been here about 6 months now. We both just moved to Tennessee and found our perfect little farmstead. So we've been working to get it up and running to the point where we can actually sell produce to the public. We really wanted to create a space that we could try and be as self-sustaining as possible off the land while providing delicious, affordable, nutritious produce to the local communities of Middle and Southeast Tennessee. So we're very excited to get to market come spring season.
What brought you to Tennessee?
We've lived on the road for the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. We're actually archaeologists by trade, so we've been living on the road for quite a while and decided it was time to try and find our community to settle down in, and we just kept getting drawn back to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. After visiting the Chattanooga area quite a few times, we just fell in love with the area and the people, and it helps that there's waterfalls everywhere. So we just kept searching for the property to call our own, and we finally found it.
How were each of you drawn to farming?
So I've been working and volunteering on farms and self-studying permaculture techniques of farming for almost 10 years now. It's not something I always wanted to do, but over the last 5 or 6 years or so, I just have really gravitated towards it and really felt that earth connection of needing to get my hands dirty in the soil and produce something that not only feeds myself and my family, but trying to help others in need that might not have access to affordable produce. And that is really one of our goals, is to try and lower some food insecurity that is in Tennessee.
And Stephanie, how about you?
I'm more new to all of the farming myself. I'm excited about it. I just wanted to find something where I could give more to people. I could do more for people around me. As an archaeologist, it was fun. It filled my 20s and my 30s, and it was fulfilling until it wasn't, but only on a personal level. And the idea of being able to serve people and grow food for other people, it just felt more like what I needed to do. Just opening up avenues for helping people. I think you can help people through food so many different ways that I'm excited to explore all of them.
Alicia, you mentioned permaculture a little while ago. Talk more about permaculture principles and how you and Stephanie are trying to apply them at the farm.
So permaculture is a relatively newish term. It was created in the 1970s to kind of try and capture these overarching principles of agricultural practices tying into social and economic needs, as well as different racial injustices, and really talking about earth and people care as a whole. We utilize permaculture techniques to try to not only steward the land and soil build, but we also want to bring more of the social aspect of permaculture that's often neglected by a lot of people into our farm as well, by creating a safe space that people can come to and kind of learn more about these different techniques, such as swales, capturing water resources, trying to plan out layouts in your landscape that fit the environment you're in, so you're not forcing the environment into a box that it's not necessarily meant to be in. You're observing the environment and you're building based on ways to make the environment work better for you and produce more food in that capacity.
I'm trying to use what's already in the soil. So like, for instance, a lot of the bigger farms, they use these giant tilling machines and they till up massive amounts of earth just to be able to plant. But what's already in the earth, there's a lot of microbes and healthy organisms that already live in the earth that help the plants that you want to grow. So we use low-till and no-till ways of creating places to grow that help to use earth natural organisms that are already there to just help.
Yeah, the more you break up soil, the more damage it does to the soil microbes itself. And so we're trying to build up the soil. The farm itself is actually an old homestead. Traditional agricultural practices have been used on it for the last 50 years or so. So we're really trying to just work in that transitionary phase of trying to build the organic matter in the soil to boost the microbes, the healthy bacteria, increase biodiversity. That way we're not relying on outside pesticides or outside resources as much as conventional agricultural models follow.
You have to be just as methodical in making that transition with the soil that has been used to one way of farming for a half century, just as methodical as you have to be with attaining the certifications that you need to operate as a farm and sell the produce that you want to grow.
Absolutely.
Tell us more about what it takes on the certification side, because people listening to us talking in the past few minutes, oh, they just decided to come to Tennessee and set up a farm. It's not that easy, regardless of which method of farming that you want to use.
Yeah, so Tennessee is a little easier in terms of certification processes, but we recently became certified naturally grown, which is kind of an up-and-coming program that is not quite as hefty as the USDA's certified organic program, but it's actually a peer review-based program where other farmers will come in and inspect your farm and make sure that you're growing in sustainable methods or you're using sustainable practices, no pesticides, no herbicides, no non-GMO seeds, using practices that actually aid in building soil life and all those things we were hitting on, but also trying to kind of commit to the community about, we're never going to go through these practices. You know that your food is safe with us. So we are proud to say that we are officially CNG certified. As for other certifications, there aren't too many hurdles to jump through on starting a farm, I guess.
There is the, if you're going to go pure organic, human says organic this, there are far more hoops to jump through. Being certified organic is actually really difficult for smaller farmers. It can be, it's time consuming. It costs far more. It's easier for larger scale farms to become organic just because of the benefit of having more land, more money, more collateral with the bank to be able to go those extra miles. So smaller farms have a really difficult time being full-fledged organic, and certified naturally grown is kind of filling in that gap for smaller farmers to allow them to say, hey, we're doing this stuff too. It's not called the same thing, but it is the same. It's no pesticides. There are no pesticides and herbicides. It's all just safe and clean.
What have you learned from other small farmers already in this community as you have come here and have been setting up this farm?
So we're still meeting other locals with the pandemic. That's obviously been a little challenging.
Right.
We have only been here 6 months, but the farmers that we have met in the area have been extremely nice and have reached out about collaborating on various projects and learning different methods from each other. And we're very excited to branch out and learn more from the community.
It is a rather small community. I mean, you think of farms, you think, oh, farms are everywhere. Larger farms, but smaller farms, not so much. And so it's really easy to be like, hey, you're another small farm. Let's get together and do this. And so we've started talking to others about potentially doing things in the future and just making friends, really. Getting and just having a sharing of ideas and like, oh, well, we do it this way and we do it that way. And just figuring out what works for the area.
And you are also a woman-owned business.
Yeah, so we're co-owners, and we eventually do want to hire other individuals to assist on the farm. Not quite there yet, but do you think it is very important to support small women-owned, person of color-owned businesses because it really does help strengthen the community and decrease any food sovereignty issues, especially in terms of farming. There is a significantly higher rate of male farmers in the community. So it can be a little challenging, especially when you're talking with outside resources, trying to acquire seeds or plant starts in nurseries. There are some biases that can come along with it, but why not break the glass ceilings?
I have a little niece and I'm really excited. She's excited for the farm and I'm excited to show her that we can do this too. Women can get out here and we can grow and we can sell and we can do all the things that we need to do to run the farm. And it's just being a good example for other little girls to grow up. You don't have to be a certain gender to do a certain thing. They can do it. I can do this thing that I want to do. It's nice to be an example, to set an example for the next generation.
And you mentioned food sovereignty. We talk about that. We talk about food insecurity. You both, having been here for at least 6 months, you are aware of the food insecurity throughout this area, not only within Chattanooga, but also in the small towns beyond Chattanooga. Talk to me more about what you have seen.
The grocery stores in the areas, I mean, there's one or two. You know, you have a Save-A-Lot or a Walmart, you know, you live in a town and you've only got access to two places to get food. And you go into these places and their produce comes from other countries, other states far away. It is limiting in what you can buy here, what you can get that's fresh. There are some produce stands and some farmers markets, and that's awesome, but it doesn't reach everybody. And we're really looking to try and reach into the gaps, into the more underserved areas, the people that can't get out even to go into town to go grocery shopping sometimes.
Yeah, so staggering 21% of Tennesseans don't actually have access to affordable, healthy food. And even in the city of Chattanooga, there are food deserts. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's just unacceptable, especially in larger cities when there is a wealth of food. There are disparagingly large quantities of people that are left behind. And, you know, there's so many processed foods or fast foods that are cheaper and easier, and they're easier to access, especially in those food deserts. But it doesn't mean that all people don't deserve fresh, high-quality produce. In those food deserts, we live in a food desert. We're outside of Dunlap right now. There is often a lack of knowledge about how to go about actually cooking some of those vegetables. So one of the things that we really want to do to try and tackle part of this issue is not only donate a large portion of our production to local food banks, but also to do educational outreach where individuals can come to the farm and see how food is really grown and put their hands in the soil and get school groups out here to connect children with the food. Because if you start from a young age and put those connections together, it really helps close some of those gaps. That is just really one of our largest goals, is to try and not only make food more accessible to people, but to show people it's not as hard as it seems, it's not out of reach, it's attainable for everybody.
And that there are options, there are options out there.
And where can people go online to follow everything that you do?
So we're currently only on Facebook and Instagram. I'm sure we'll get a website built at some point. But if you search for Bird Fork Farm, there were no birds or forks harmed in the making of our food. But you can find us on both Facebook and Instagram and keep track of where we'll be selling in the future.
Mm-hmm. All right. Alicia, Stephanie, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.